Well, 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 would you look at that? Another week, another episode of People Pleaser with Austin Archer and you're back. Didn't have an episode last week. Did you notice that? I did one. I recorded one. And what happened is I was doing an episode about peer support with my friend Brave Dave. He was making his second appearance on the podcast. And in the middle of our live broadcast on YouTube, Brave Dave had some technical difficulties that were unforeseen, and we had a hard time coming back from them. And I said, you know what, we were like halfway through the conversation, and I said, let's just break this into two parts, and we're actually going to record the next part next week, and I'm going to release the full version, the audio version of both parts of that interview mashed together next week in one episode. But what happened, so like, you can actually watch part one of that conversation on YouTube right now, but I just thought, for the audio version, I'll do it all together as one big thing. I'll, you know, have the two parts that we do on the live broadcast on YouTube all together in that. Do you know that, by the way? Are you aware that we do a live YouTube broadcast of this podcast? Is that a thing that you know? Are you aware that this podcast, the portion with the guest, is always done live on YouTube, and you can watch it? You can watch my face and watch the guest's face. I don't know if that's a thing you're aware of. I don't know if that's a thing you're interested in. You don't get the intro and outro part of the show. Maybe you don't like the intro and outro part of the show. Maybe you're always finding yourself fast-forwarding through the intro and outro part of the show. And maybe while you're listening in your car or on your run, wherever, you think, I wish I could see Austin's face and the guest's face right now while they're having this conversation. Well, you can on YouTube if you want to go check that out. But if you just prefer to listen to the audio version here on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, that's also fine, and I'm happy to have you here. Speaking of how happy I am to have all of you and how appreciative I am of you, thank you to everybody who picked up my new album. Now, that's what I call a bunch of Austin Archer's TikTok songs compiled into an album, Volume 4. To everyone that went over to Bandcamp and picked up a copy of that, I really, really appreciate that. That really helps keep the wheels rolling forward here at yourpalaustin.theinternet.com. Incorporated. Thank you. Thank you so much for your support. Thanks to the new people who have subscribed at patreon.com/Austin Archer. I talked about Patreon on the last episode of the podcast, and a handful of people, new subscribers, went over and joined the Patreon. I really, really, really appreciate that. So shout out to the Patreon patrons and to everyone who is part of the Patreon producers club and helping to produce this show, produce the content that I make, and helping keep this whole operation alive and afloat. Really, really appreciate it. If you have the means and you would like to help produce the show, we could always use more support over there at patreon.com/Austin Archer. If you have the available expendable monthly income, would really, really appreciate your support over there. And thank you to all the new patrons and to all of the pre-existing patrons. Once again, let's do a show, shall we? It was just Valentine's Day this week. I don't know if you knew that. Did you have a Valentine's Day? Did you have a Valentine? Did you go out and do anything? If you do have a Valentine, did you go do anything? Or are you the kind of couple that's like, we don't really care about that? Or are you like me? Are you single? And you were like, I don't have a Valentine. What are your thoughts on Valentine's Day? A big theme of the conversation that you're about to hear with my guest, Amy Shack Egan, is not yucking other people's yum. You know about this, right? You don't want to, you don't want to yuck someone else's yum. You don't want to say that something someone else enjoys or has a good time with is bad, you know? So I think that's a good point. And I got to say that, like, there's nothing wrong with enjoying Valentine's Day. There's nothing wrong if you are the kind of couple that really looks forward to Valentine's Day. If you're the kind of person, if you're a single person who just enjoys Valentine's Day, who just enjoys an excuse to tell the people in your life that you love them, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? That's totally fine. And I am not going to say what I'm about to say to yuck your yum in any way. I'm just going to say this to comment on my personal feeling and maybe my personal bullshit. I don't know what it is, but I think Valentine's Day is my least favorite holiday, if I'm being honest. And it's that way when I'm in a relationship. It's that way when I'm single. It just feels rude to me. I don't know. There's just like a vibe, I think, that just feels like, oh, you're not in a, you don't have a Valentine this year. Well, better luck next year. Maybe next year you will. It just feels like, I don't know. It just feels so exclusive and so just mean unnecessarily. And I know that people aren't intending it to be that way, but it just feels like it. And I'm just like, don't you have your anniversary? You got your birthdays that you celebrate. Why do we need a holiday, an international holiday, where people who aren't participating in the societal institution of like partnering are excluded from that holiday? That it's like, well, yeah, you know, you can go hang out with your friends, I guess. Go find some people that will take pity on you and spend the day with you. I don't know. And maybe I'm just being jaded. And the other part of it is, and I think I found this out in this conversation that you're about to hear with my guest today. I think I found out today that I don't really like the pressure of tradition-based things in relationships. So things where it's like, no, you're supposed to do this if you're in a relationship. The way that you're supposed to show your affection, you don't get to opt out of this. This is so Valentine's Day, anniversaries, things like that, that it's like you have to do it and you have to do it a certain way. There's certain things that are expected. There's certain kind. And I don't, that stuff always kind of stresses me out, I think. And I think it's because I just feel like my relationship with that person is more unique than that. And me and that person have a unique dynamic that's different from the dynamic that I've had with other partners, and that's different than the dynamic that I have with other people in my life. And I don't know, when the relationship gets pushed into a box like that, where there's this really kind of like pre-planned expectation of like, you go to dinner, you get some chocolates, you get some flowers, maybe a card, you know, like it's just sort of like these standard things, maybe a little teddy bear. That's Valentine's Day. And maybe a little banging in there too. Just threw that in there because I know that my parents listen to this show. And I just wanted to throw in a little mention of Valentine's Day banging for my parents and also my sister and my brother-in-law, who I know listen to this show. Just a little mention of banging because we're all adults, gang, okay? I don't know. Hey, and again, if you enjoy Valentine's Day and you enjoy getting your Valentine's Day stuffed teddy bear and your Valentine's Day box of chocolates and your Valentine's Day flowers and your Valentine's Day dinner and your Valentine's Day bang session, then that's great. And I'm happy for you. I'm just saying, stuff like this has always rubbed me the wrong way. And I don't think I've ever actually processed why. And I think I get closer to the root of understanding why in this conversation. So how about we just get to that conversation? Why don't we already? This is a really cool guest. This is a person that I was just introduced to through a mutual friend. And she is a planner of what you and I would understand as weddings, the ceremony where two people commit in front of, you know, their family and friends that they are going to embark on a lifelong partnership together, and usually some kind of legal pen and paper comes into the question. But people, she plans these events for people, and she calls them with her company Modern Rebel love parties, not weddings, but love parties. She has been described as the anti-wedding wedding planner, and I'm thrilled to have her on the show at this time of year, right after our international love holiday, to discuss why she's so interested in sort of deconstructing this societal institution, this tradition of weddings and marriage and getting at like trying to create a thing that's more special and more unique to the people who are having it, rather than just ticking off the box of what is supposed to be traditionally at a wedding or expected to be at a wedding. And it was a really interesting conversation, and I'm gonna let you just listen to it now, okay? How about that? Let's do it. Here we go. From a Blankenfort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood, this is People Pleaser, and I'm Austin Archer, and today I am talking with my new friend, Amy Shack Egan, about the business of planning love parties. What's up, YouTube? What's up, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are? How's everybody doing? How are you out there? Are you okay? Are you well? I hope so. I hope you're doing all right. Welcome back to another thing. We're doing it again, and we've got Amy Shack Egan here. Do you see her? You can see her if you're on YouTube. If you're out there in the listening community, you cannot see her, and you're missing out. because we got good backgrounds going on. We got some photos. She's got a very nice shirt on, little pink peppermint stripe.
Thank you.
Yeah. How you feeling, Amy?
I'm feeling good. You just complimented my shirt. I feel even better now.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Thank you.
Where are you right now? You're in Texas?
I'm in Austin, Texas. Yeah.
Oh, right on. Excellent. Yeah. I've been to Austin once in my life, and I got a shirt at the airport that said "Keep Austin Weird," or no. They have "Keep Austin Weird" shirts. The shirt that I got was a shirt that says "Austin Rocks," and it had a guitar on it. And I was like, that's a cool shirt for me to have. And I was like 16 when I got that shirt, and I wore it to school a lot.
It's a very cool shirt. And yeah. Austin does rock. I don't live here, but I'm visiting here for work. And when I came to the airport, they had a concert, literally in the airport. And I was thinking, can they sell tickets for this? They can't, right? Because it was like past security.
It must be like one of those deals like where a band plays in a casino or something, where like the casino's paying the band.
There was a crowd. It was like
there was a crowd watching the show happen at the airport.
Yes. Yes.
How is that possible?
I guess people get there early, they got some drinks, they're like, you know what? I don't know, it kind of gives you new meaning.
They're
to
like I'm on the 6:45 to Chicago O'Hare, but I'm catching that set by Nickel Creek at 4 p.m.
I was shocked. But Austin's cool and weird, and Austin rocks.
Yeah, Austin rocks, apparently. Like, yeah, go to Austin and catch a concert at the airport there.
Right.
You're in Texas for work. What you do for work, you're a wedding planner, but we don't use those words specifically, even though this episode of the podcast is titled Weddings, because that's a lot of what we're going to talk about. But you've been sort of given the moniker, the anti-wedding wedding planner.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Are you planning like reverse weddings where everyone's like, do you not take this person to be your not? And they're like, I do not. What does it mean?
That would be interesting. It's not exactly like that, although I'm open to it.
I imagine, yeah.
I like to say that, you know, we like to say we're a team of 10 amazing people I work with now, but it did just start with me back in 2015, so I've been doing it now for 8 years. But we like to say we plan love parties. So what's a love party? A love party is a wedding that breaks the rules, and you might break every single rule. And I've done that. We've done space disco cowboy love parties in the middle of ghost towns. We've done...
I want to go to a space disco cowboy love party.
It was
pretty
great. It was pretty freaking great.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it just means breaking a few rules, you know, like maybe like walking down an aisle with a dad doesn't feel great. Like you want to do something else, or maybe like just a tradition that you're just like, I want to reimagine that. I want to reinvent that. Or I don't want, that doesn't feel good. I don't feel seen that way. The wedding industry is just so like formulaic and boxy for, I think, a lot of people. And mm-hmm. so that the whole idea with Modern Rebel was like, let's just take the formula out. Let's just like look at real people, real relationships, and put that back in.
Is that what the company's called? Modern Rebel?
Modern Rebel. Yeah. That's my company.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And just breaking rules, disrupting.
I still remember like at the very beginning, you know, which now the wedding industry is really starting to evolve. It's like still taking a lot of time, but I would show up to like industry events. Like, what's your company name? But the great thing is that they would always remember it. Whether sure. it was sort of shocking, you're not, you know, it was like, oh yeah, you're Modern Rebel.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're the one that's breaking all the rules, and everybody wants to, I mean, God, that's my kind of wedding. I got to say,
they're the most fun.
What made you want to do that? And also, I guess this is also jumbled into the question of like, how'd you get into it? I was like, whenever I meet someone who's like an agent or a manager or something, like for, you know, people in the entertainment industry, I'm like, how does one become an agent or a manager? And that, I think wedding planning is one of those jobs too, where I'm like, how do you just assert yourself as like, I'll be the person, come to me and I'll work it out for you. I assume you have a very type A brain and you don't mind working with like spreadsheets and really detailed calendars and things like that. Or maybe I'm wrong. So how do you get into this, and what made you want to be the rebellious company rather than just another wedding planner?
Well, I got into it. I was really working a ton of jobs in New York City, trying to pay the bills. And I was, a friend basically called me up and she wanted help planning her wedding. And I said, you know, I'm organized, I'm juggling everything. I think I was always sort of the organized one of my friend group. And so I said, I'll help you out. Met up at City Bakery in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Still remember this. And she looked at me at the end of whatever, if you even call it a session, a wedding planning session. And she's like, Amy, you could do this. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you could be a wedding planner. And I was like, ugh. I was like, I hate weddings. I was like, that is so, like, in my mind, I was like, that is the most uncool thing for you to say to me. I'm going to do something so cool. Like, I can't do that. And so my background in college was like gender studies and communication. And so it was like, my parents were like, what are you going to do with that degree? And then I kind of, a few months later, I was like, I couldn't leave me alone. I was like, maybe I should be a wedding planner, but I'll be like the anti one. And
yeah, I'm going to like fuck with it from a gendered angle of like,
yeah.
it's all this, there's so much like misogyny and patriarchy inherent in
so
the
I
traditional.
Sort of took communication yeah. and gender studies. It actually did make a career, but I tried to get into it how I would describe as like the right way, right? Like I didn't plan to be an entrepreneur. I look back and I'm like, wow, there was a lot of entrepreneurial moments in my life and it makes sense. Like the dots are connected now. But I didn't try to be, I wasn't like, I want to come up with a business idea. I wasn't doing that. I just helped a friend and saw that the wedding industry did not reflect the diverse, cool people that I met, like, and knew and were my friends. And I was like, Oh, that's weird. This is a relationship business and relationships seem to be left out of it. And that's really just how it started going. So I tried to sort of like call people up and can I intern? Can I, whatever. And no one would let me do anything. Because it's a very solo entrepreneurial career path. If you're a wedding planner, like there's not many companies. We're sort of rare in that way. We're rare in a lot of ways, but that's one of them. So I think people get a little territorial about sharing their work in that way, which I totally understand. And I had somebody be like, yeah, there's no jobs in events. Like you should just do PR. And I was like, I don't want to do PR. So I just started it. I just started helping my friends' friends. I did 3 the first year, 6 the second year. And then by the third year, I did 25. And then it just started.
Wow. Wow. 25. And then,
I did 75 last year.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. So business is good.
Business is good. We grew from a team of 2 in 2020. I scaled way down and then we scaled back up and now we're a team of 10. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. What do you think it was specifically that you don't or didn't or don't like about traditional weddings? Like, I mean, like what are some of the things that you're like, I don't know, that sort of rubbed me the wrong way, or that was a thing that I like, did you want to get married growing up? Was it a thing that you imagined? Were you a girl that grew up thinking about, because I agree with you. I have all these friends that I'm like, in so many ways, you're such a progressive radical person who thinks outside the box about so many conventional traditional norms. But when it comes, there's certain things where it's like, when it comes to weddings, everyone's like, oh, well, I'm going to get a tuxedo and she's going to wear a white dress and we're going to do flowers. And we're gonna have colors. These are our colors.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, but that's not who I know you to be. You seem that doesn't seem like you. But you're just like, well, that's what a wedding is. So I shall do it that way. I mean, what? Yeah. So did you think about weddings that way growing up, or all your whole life?
My background is definitely interesting in how it connects. Again, more dots being connected here because I grew up pretty religious. Like evangelical Christian.
Oh, okay.
So absolutely. I've talked about the fact that like, I felt like as a kid, I was asked more often, who are you going to marry versus what do you want to do with your life? Like that was definitely much more of a question.
What do you want your husband's job to be?
And I played house. I remember playing house. It was such a big part of like, and my identity as a woman. And I feel like my sister and I, we played a lot of house and I dressed up as a bride for Halloween, which like it's strange to me that that's a role.
Yeah.
That's a part that you play. But then I grew up and started questioning a lot of those things. And I have a lot of respect for my family because they've also evolved in their thinking in so many ways. So all that to say is that I think it gave me an interesting lens on the situation because I did see what value we hold women to at this sort of like bride archetype. And it is odd. I don't blame people for falling into the trap because it is a trap. Like an entire industry, a $1 billion industry is saying, this is what should matter to you. This is what you should care about. And then you have this whole like, care about this exclusively. It's your whole personality now. And we're rewarding you being like a bride, right? And then it's like, oh, but she's a bridezilla. It's like, but you told her that this was so essential to her identity. So it is sort of like this double-edged sword. So all that stuff bothers me. And I don't know, I try to have a sense of humor about it, but I think we're getting better. I think it's getting better.
I mean, it feels, it does, because I was also raised in a very religious community and very similar to evangelical. I was raised in Utah, LDS, you know, Mormon, and weddings, it's a huge thing. It's a massive part of the blueprint of how you live a successful life as an adult. It's like, and for boys, it's like, you know, you graduate high school, you go on a mission for 2 years. And when you get home, you got like 2 or 3 years to go and hunt down a wife in college. But I feel like for men, at least in my community growing up, there are all these milestones throughout your life. And it's like graduate high school, go on a mission, get married, graduate college, get that first job, make that first six-figure salary, buy the first house, buy your first car. You know, like there's all these like milestones that come with like building a legacy as a man of what you're going to leave behind and building your personal wealth and the legacy that you're going to leave to your kids. And it felt like for the girls, it was like, yeah, I mean, graduate high school so that like, I don't know, like, so you have something to do while like your parents are at work. But then like after that, it's like, get married and that'll be the big day for you. And then have kids and well, like, and it's like that. It's very, yeah. And it's a lot more streamlined, but that's why it's like, hey, you better have fun at this wedding. Cause this is the last time we're going to do something real big for you like this.
It just holds people. It just sucks that kind of thinking. And I do think that the wedding industry has perpetuated that narrative. If, you know, outside of religion, I think that the wedding industry does have that, a bit of that sort of heightened, oh my God, it's the best day of your life, the most perfect day, all those things. I try not to say any of them because I think they just box people into this idea that a wedding is some sort of achievement. And it isn't. You know, I like to say it's like, it's the kickoff party for the rest of your lives. Like it should, that's what it should feel like. And we have a question on our forms, which are pretty unorthodox probably when it comes to wedding forms. But like one of them is like, how important is this day to you? And literally some people are like 9. And some people are like 1, like, and then they'll like write about like, it's not defining us. We don't like, here's what matters to us. And it's really good at crystallizing like what is important about this to you, because the industry has told you this is an achievement. This is in the world, really, I guess outside of the industry, right? Like a big achievement for you. And it's like, it's not an achievement. It's a love party. That's it.
I mean, as a 35-year-old man who's never been married, I definitely feel, and especially from the community that I grew up in, and all of, I mean, pretty much every single one of my friends from high school that are my close friends have all been married, and they all are married, and they all have, you know, and it's a thing where I do feel like there's some achievement, some milestone, some adult thing that I have yet to do. But the older I get, the more I'm like, I don't know that I need to experience that in order to be valid or in order to be, and if I am to experience that with someone at some point, it's going to be just because me and that person are like, I want to make a significant show of like this, of how I feel about you. And we'll make a little symbolic gesture here with some friends and family to celebrate the love that we have. And I think I would probably fall on your list there of like 1 to 10, me and this person would be like this day in particular, like 3 or 4, you know, but like how we feel about each other, hopefully like 9, just like signifying to our friends and family that like we love each other. So I really like this idea of love parties, and also this idea of like, we're having a party to say that we are intending to embark on a life together and that this will be the kickoff party for the rest of our lives. I think that's really fun. And a good way to put it, that it's like this in and of itself is not like the achievement.
Or honestly, there are couples that make it their whole personality. Right. And then the event comes and then it's like, oh shit, what do we talk about now? And it's like, wait, that wasn't supposed to become your whole relationship. This is just a party to celebrate it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I don't necessarily know if it's healthy to think of relationships in general as like an achievement, you know? It's like, I don't know if that's a healthy mindset to be like, I found a person that I like, and there, so I did it. And it's like, I don't know, like, that's just a thing that happens. Sometimes it's nice and it's lovely and it's nice to have someone to go through this experience mm-hmm. with, but I don't necessarily think of that in and of itself as an achievement. I think of navigating a difficult situation with a partner as an achievement, going like, mm-hmm. hey, we had to, my partner got sick and we had to like figure out what to do with it. We had to navigate like some difficult health insurance stuff to get together. That's an achievement, you know, through the process of buying a home together. That's an achievement, you know, that's a thing, but I don't know. Like,
I think maybe the process and what you learn from it in wedding planning could be considered an achievement or a success. Maybe achievement's not the right word, right? Like, yeah. I always feel like the wedding planning, if you decide to go through it, whether you're planning something small or whether you're planning something big, it is usually the first time a couple is working on a large scale budget, a large scale project, where they're actually delegating and having to sort of almost be coworkers in a way.
It's a really good
and
point.
I always feel like it's an incredible opportunity for people to actually learn delegating and learn good communication skills. And so we require that both individuals in the couple work with us, and literally like people have, like, there's been a few people along the way that have not signed with us. Cause they're like, okay, my mom can't be in meetings. And I'm like, no, cause you're going to learn so much about yourselves in this process. We meet every single month, and some months you're going to show up and you're going to be on cloud nine. And then other months you're going to show up and you are at the bottom of it's tough times. Maybe something's going on. Work's not great. I see people for 12 to 18 months. And it's like, I'm not a therapist by any stretch, but we're going to walk through this process. And if your mom's in the room every time something tough is going on, is that the case for the rest of your life? Like, probably not. You know what I mean? So I'm like, this is an opportunity. Let's use it.
We'll talk about that a little bit, because that's another thing that you do. So there's like the rating of how important is this day to you that you ask people. There's this thing, this idea that I think is really great of making sure that both people in the relationship work with you, and that if that's not going to be a thing that they both can agree to, maybe it's not a good fit. But this idea of like your mom's not allowed in the room,
it's very rebel, right?
That's very rebellious. So where did you come up with that little wrinkle in the process?
I'm sure it just came from experience. Yeah. I love moms. I mean, I am a mom also, but I love moms and I think that they love me, and I'm always happy on event days to win them over, whatever, make sure they have a cocktail. But I don't think that wedding planning is, I just see it as an opportunity for a couple to really invest in their relationship, not just their event, because it's just going to pull so much out of you and it's going to require so much of you emotionally. You're going to be talking about money in ways that you've never talked about, because most people probably haven't talked about money this month, this much in a relationship. So I don't feel like it's just like too many cooks in the kitchen. And ultimately I'm like, you guys are my clients and this process works best. Cause I think of also my role as like, people hire me. It's like, I can plan a great event. There's no question. I've done hundreds of love parties at this point. Like, I can get an event to the finish line, but I would love it if people felt like by the end of the process working with us, that like their relationship was stronger, that they felt like, hey, that was fun. Like, Amy made that really interesting. And I'm so connected with my couples because they have that experience. And so if we can hit that, then I've set you up for like, it's not me, like it's them opening up to each other. It's creating and facilitating that process. But then it's like, it was an investment in like the rest of your life. Like that's where, like, let's, why not? You know, it's almost like coming up with a theater piece together, you know, with your, it's like coming up. It's like, let's not think about the box that exists. Like, let's just step entirely outside of that. Like, what matters to you? And we have couples come up with a marriage mantra in our design process. So basically, like, what is a word, a phrase, a lyric, a quote that, you know, sort of speaks to your relationship? It doesn't define your relationship. I don't put that kind of pressure on it, but it's amazing what people come up with. So we give them that homework in the process and they like sit down and think about it, you know, and it's like, okay, who are we as a partnership? Because like a lot of times this is the first time you're more defined now by your relationship. Whether you like it or not, if you decide to get married or have some ritual to define your relationship, like people are going to mark you as a partnership.
Oh yeah.
So why don't you define this for yourselves now? Think about it. Because so many people don't even do premarital counseling. Or that may be inaccessible to them. So this is like a micro exercise to get them to just think about it. And people are funny. People are serious. People are sentimental. You see it all. And people sometimes ask me, they're like, do you come up with the marriage mantras? I'm like, no. That would make sense. I don't define their relationship for them.
I feel like I've been to so many weddings in my life because this is so great. Everything that you're saying is so great. And I think that so many people's weddings would be so much more fulfilling and such a more special, actually special day for them if more people approached it this way. Because I feel like I've been to so many weddings in my life that felt like the two people who the wedding was for were two people who don't necessarily give a shit about the traditional wedding structure, but we're like, we got to do one. And I think this whole thing about not allowing the parents in there, because a lot of times it's like, just because like my parents and my family are going to want us to do one. So everything's just sort of like, okay, we got to find a person to like, who's going to like do the cake. Like we got to find a person to do a cake. Got to find a person to like to maybe some cookies. Can somebody get like, I don't really give a shit what kind of cookies.
Right. People are like, they're really edgy. They're going to maybe go donuts. Like,
they're like, I don't really care. I don't really care. And like, are we doing a dinner? Are we inviting people to dinner? Are we just doing like a reception with like hors d'oeuvres? Like I don't really care. And it sort of just feels like two people who are like checking things off a list. And when you get there, it's like, they're like, yeah, I'm happy. I like my dress. I like this. I feel like I look good, you know? And like, I think that everything turned out nice. Like it looks nice, but it's sort of like, if you really were to get to be honest with them, like, does this actually matter to you? Just like on your list. And a lot of those people would be like, not really. It was a thing that we had to do. And rather than going down to the courthouse and being like, we're just getting the piece of paper. We were like, okay, we'll do it so that my family can come and my partner's family can come and we can share this day. But I think if more people did it this way, where they actually went, this is our first real big group project as a unit, as we're kicking off this life as a partnership. We've already been together as two people who are dating. We've already fallen in love. We've already done all that stuff, but we are deciding to make it official with ink and paper that this is a legal partnership. As our first big project, I love those questions. Like, who are we? And what does this party say about who we are? And what does this day say about who we are? Rather than just, let's just get the fucking thing out of the way. Let's just do the thing. Let's get
it. And so many people just want it to be over, right?
Right.
I think, Austin, you're hitting the nail on the head here, because one thing that I always say is, yes, relationships take work. Because you always hear people say that, right? Relationships take work. Relationships take work. And they do. But relationships take fun as much as they take work. And so it's like, if you can combine the work and the fun, that's the recipe. And that's the recipe for relationships for the rest of ever. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, let's find that. I'm always looking for those moments.
Well, look, I have a lot of friends who have had, you know, traditional weddings with, you know, little wrinkles here and there and stuff like that, who have really enjoyed the day and afterwards been like, that was really magical. That was fantastic. They love looking at the photos, busting out the video and stuff. But I still also, these same people I know, I just like see the amount of stress that goes into the process. And it fills me with a lot of stress as their friend. I'm just kind of like, is it worth it? Like all this money and all this anxiety for this one day. And maybe if there's more of that element of fun, like you're saying, where it's like, hey, look, obviously it is work and we got it. There's a lot of logistics that we got to work out here. We got to figure out where certain things are coming from that you might want at this party. And we got to make sure that everything's that goes off right. But man, maybe if there's just a way to just inject it with a little bit more personality in life. And my person, as a person attending, as much personality as that couple can infuse into the wedding so it feels like them, I always am like game for that. My ex grew up Catholic and we did a lot of Catholic weddings in her family together. Mm. And every time I would go to one of those, I'd be like, I can't believe this is how people have gotten married for hundreds of years. And it's literally just church. You just go to mass. And in the middle of mass, the priest is like, oh yeah, these two people are getting married today. Let's do that real quick. Hey, you guys love each other? Yeah, cool. Get married. And then somebody read Corinthians and back to my homily. And I just sit there and I'm like, this has nothing to do with them. It's just like the preacher's like, well, we got people here today because of a wedding, but you guys are going to listen to me do mass because that's what I'm doing. All right. And the wedding will happen for like 5 minutes in there. But I'm just like, can we talk about them? Can we talk about these two people? That's who I'm here. I don't care about what you have to say, preacher guy. I don't care. I'm here for the two people. And right. So, yeah, I just think that what you're on to here with this, I get why you did 75 weddings last year.
Well, I mean, I have an incredible team. I have my entire team is all women and non-binary folks. Like we've also, I think in terms of like just reimagining, we like to say we help couples rewrite the rules. And I mean, queer folks, like that's like, they've had to do that by necessity, right? Like the entire industry is set up still based on a man and a woman.
Yep.
Like it's still very archaic. For if you look at the society at large, I feel like I always say that like, you know, relationships have modernized and yet weddings haven't. And I do think that it's this sense of like pride people take in traditions, but if they really just sat for one moment and just examine like, well, why do you want to do this? And sometimes people have great reasons. Like, and I like to say, I don't like to yuck people's yum. We say that a lot at Monterey. Yeah. Like some people, and honestly, for me, like the fairy tale princess wedding feels suffocating. But I said that one time at a talk and someone on the panel was like, I totally disagree with you because I grew up really poor and I really wanted this fairy tale wedding. And it was really empowering to me to feel like I had this. So I was like, you know what? Thanks for saying that because I don't know what it's like to be you. And yeah, that could feel really awesome and empowering for you. It's just about questioning it, right? Like bouquet toss. For me personally, I think throwing a bouquet at all my single girlfriends would be insulting. They would be like, what the hell? All of them would be hiding. They would be like, I don't want to.
Which one of you is going to be as lucky as me next? Oh, you're right. All, don't it's worry. Weird, you'll all get there. You'll get there.
I had a client do it all gender bouquet toss with money. And I was oh, sign me up. Like, yeah. That's hilarious. And yeah. Also, like, funny. And so there's a lot of ways to reimagine. I had a couple that they really didn't like the idea of an aisle. And we had them both come in on the sides and it was really powerful. I had a couple one time, who had both, they both lost their parents and they sort of bonded in this grief period. And it was a really sweet story. And I'm always having to like brush up against venue managers who've been doing this since like the dark ages. And they're always like, what are you going to do? And this couple in particular, we did no music. They walked in together instead of like with any parents. They didn't have any parents and they walked in together and they said, we don't want to have any music because we want this to be really symbolic for this walk that we've been on together. And I can't tell you how much I had to push this venue manager. They were like, this, we don't, what? It's going to be so, no, we have to do it. And I'm like, this is what they want. They did it. It was probably, I've done now hundreds. Like it was probably one of the more powerful moments I've ever experienced. And literally everybody's crying. It was just so, we were all like in it with
that,
them.
That sounds like instantly I'm like a theater person. I come from like, you know, and I'm like, oh yeah. Oh, like the moment just to be like, and just the, to strip it back and minimalize and take it. And I also love that this venue manager's like, no, we don't do that. It's not your fucking wedding, dude. It's not yours. Like, it's not about you.
I've heard so many things. Oh, you have to do this. And then I hear all the time, people are like, well, you know, I have to push them out of the box because I get it. Like you're being fed all this stuff. Here's what a wedding is. And there are a lot of times like, well, what do people do, Amy? And I'm like, no. We're not asking that question. We're going to figure out what you want to do. And I'll tell you if it's going to screw up the flow or like, you know, if it's going to mess with our party, you know, we're not going to sit everybody in a room and, you know, tell them shut up for 2 hours and, you know, put them in. It's like, we're going to create a vibe. But
come on in. You're going to stand in that corner and look at the corner. That's what they want. That's what they, if they're.
I do have to be a bit of an expert and like, you know, starting a party, but.
We'd like but also people's parties are different.
I haven't done that love party yet. It was funny though, because when I first started saying love party, which I said from the very beginning, back in 2015, I started the business and I just immediately just said, I'm going to call weddings love parties. And everyone, universally, my friends, everyone thought it was the weirdest thing ever. Even people that were like, because at the time, I think no one did that. And I put it on my marketing.
It's so intuitive to me. I'm like, yeah.
But to me, I'm like, yeah, let's just simplify it. It's love. It's a party. Simple. I had people being like, are you planning orgies? Like, it was so bizarre. I was like, what? I was like, really? I'm just planning weddings that don't have all the rules that you think they need to have. And they're like, oh.
Also orgies. Like, I'm just planning unconventional weddings. Also sometimes orgies. Okay. If that's the wedding that they want, you don't have to go, but like, you know, you're there to be like, let's make sure everyone gets tested before they show up. We're gonna make sure.
Right. That'd be a whole different, I had to go through the whole COVID testing thing as an event planner, but that would be a whole nother level of testing. No.
Oh my God. You went through that whole world. Wow. Yeah.
We survived. Yeah. It was nuts. We pivoted to virtual weddings in the pandemic, love parties. And we did love parties all over the world. We did 50 of them. And I was able to keep my employee on staff, which was huge. And then we built back up from there. But it was hard times. But it was hard times for a lot of people. I just hated delivering bad news to people because we didn't do any in-person for a while. We were pretty safe about it. And I know that other places they were doing them. And I kept being like, no, can't do it yet. I just felt like I just kept being the bearer of bad news, which is never fun.
You're married, right?
I'm married. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, you got a bunch of rings on. So
I got a bunch of rings and it doesn't look like a wedding ring.
Well, it wouldn't, right? We're talking to who we're talking to. But so it's not necessarily like the institution of marriage that you've got beef with or anything like that. I mean, obviously, like you just said, marriage is evolving and what we view marriage as is evolving. And I think happily so. And I think that we're moving in directions that where we view both people in a marriage. And I think that this is largely because of the inclusion of queer unions into marriage that we're starting to just see partnerships in general between people like, oh, you know what? Like, we don't need to have status, but you know, like a battle of status between these two people. It can just be two people coming together, two consenting adult people. So yeah, I guess just maybe talk a little bit about your thoughts on the institution of marriage and also like, what was your wedding like?
Yeah, great questions. Marriage. So I don't care if somebody comes to me and says, we don't want to get legally married. We just want to throw a party. Like that's fine. Like that's not a prerequisite for working with us. So I don't really care if it's legal or not, whatever feels right to people. And I think for a lot of people, marriage has felt like an empowering decision. I mean, just because also for a lot of people, it didn't even exist as an option.
Sure.
So, and marriage is a privilege. It does afford you privileges like tax breaks and other things that are sort of, you know, that exist. And so I'm skeptical of marriage, I think is like the answer. But I also think that partnership is more what I'm interested in. And I do think that relationships, I always say that like relationship health is as essential as your mental health, your physical health. If you've got physical health, mental health and relationship health, we as a society have evolved to think about these as investment buckets, right? Like physical health is like, I need to work out or I need to like do some exercise. Mental health, like I'm going to go see a therapist. Like people like brag about going to therapy now, which is kind of great, right? Relationship health, not a bucket that we think of as an investment. Like when you ask people like, how do you invest in your relationship? They're like, well, we did like a few weeks of premarital counseling, or they're like, well, we haven't gone to therapy. They only think of it in the context of therapy, when in fact, you're investing in your relationship in so many ways. You write a little post-it note and put it on a fridge. That's an investment in a relationship. It brightens your partner's day. You know, there's all these micro ways that we invest, and there's literally studies that say your relationship health affects your overall, like how long you live. So anyway, I think that I'm much more fascinated and interested in partnership, whether you're married or not married, because most people will have a significant relationship, like romantic relationship in their life, and it affects your life. So I'm in this because I care about relationships. And I think that's what happened when I got into it. I like, I realized I loved working with the people I was working with. Like Modern Rebel attracts the coolest people. Like it does. And so I was like, I just love their like relationship. And so I think that's why I'm still in it. I think it was just about the like weddings. I don't know if I'd still be doing this. And then my own love party. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm always questioning everything. So like I had a moment with John, who is my partner. Again, I don't love like husband and wife. Like I never, when we were love party planning, I always ask people, how do you want to identify? Like, I didn't like people calling me bride or like, I just feel weird about it. Like, I don't even like when people say wife. I'm like, am I a wife? I don't know. All these labels. But John, who is my partner.
I like how they always give like a possessive. They're always like his blushing bride. And here comes his bride. Like, oh you're, God. You know, it's like, yeah. It is.
Oh my God. Nothing irks me more than like also when people only refer to brides in the relationship, like context of weddings. Because a lot of times I'll work with like two men or something, or I'll just work with a couple. And I'm like, there's two people here. So anyway, but yeah, we questioned everything. So there was a moment where I realized like, it's getting serious. Of course we talk about it. I thought like, if he gets doubt on one knee, like I'm going to throw up. Like that's not, I'm not interested in that at all. Like I didn't want that. And that's again, like someone else, that may feel great for me. I just didn't want that. So I came to him. I was like, we're like, this is getting serious. Like we're going to get married. We knew we were going to do that. But I was like, I don't want you to propose. That's just not, it's going to be fun for me. And so we decided to throw a secret engagement trip, which I recommend to everyone. Yeah. You can get a trip out of anything. And so we decided, we met at sunset. And so sunsets are a big part of our relationship. Oh, I realize the camera's there. I have a tattoo about it. We met at sunset. And so we decided to look up where the top sunset spots were in the U.S. And so we flew to the Grand Canyon and we had both written things and we both had rings. We both had engagement rings and they were funky and weird. I had a giant turquoise engagement ring. No one got it. Like everyone was like, let me see your ring. And I'm like, here it is. And they're like, what? So we went to the Grand Canyon and we exchanged notes that we'd written about, you know, why we wanted to start our lives together. And then we exchanged the rings and that was that. And then we both had surprises for each other. We said, we'll do surprises, but they'll be, they won't be a, you know, popping of a question. Mm-hmm. And so John surprised me with skydiving. So we went skydiving. And he's scared of heights.
Oh my God. How'd that go?
It's amazing. I mean, you have to go skydiving. Have you been?
Yeah.
You didn't like it? You sound like you didn't like it.
I have the world's worst skydiving story. But,
yeah. Do we have time? Okay.
I wound up in long and short of it is I wound up in the hospital because I couldn't stop vomiting. But that's just because I have this equilibrium that like just it does not like being.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I'm so sorry.
But I did it. You know?
You did it.
I did it. And I never will do it again.
You'll never do it again. Okay. Yeah. Well, we had a great time. So for anyone listening, it can be great. I think normally it is great, but I'm so sorry that was your experience.
Yeah. What was your surprise?
My surprise was outdoor massages.
Ooh, okay.
So, but the funny thing is that it was actually one person. So it wasn't actually a couple's massage. It was like this giant woman who was amazing. She had these giant hands. She showed up to our Joshua Tree Airbnb. So we drove from the Grand Canyon to Joshua Tree, middle of the desert, and it had like a outdoor, you know, bathtub that was like a hot tub. It was just gorgeous. And there were like trees. And so she rolled out her thing. We did it outside. And but she's like, it's just her. And I'm like, I thought this was gonna be a couple's massage, but it was just like one at a time.
You're like kind of was hoping we could like look at each other like
but again, it's like who cares? It was fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a really special trip and we didn't tell our family, we didn't call everybody right away. We just enjoyed it for a week and then we went home and told everybody. But for the actual love party part, you know, there was a little bit of pressure because it was what I do for a living, but it was early enough to, like, I started the business 2015, we got married 2018. So I think there was still early enough. Like if I did it now, I'd just elope. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. but then we did a few things differently. Our marriage mantra, it was really the start of marriage mantras for Modern Rebel. And our marriage mantra was no missed sunsets. This idea that like show up for life's beauty, you know, you never know what's going to happen. It could change your life. And so we just wove in like sunset colors. We, you know, brought everybody down. the rehearsal dinner, we brought everybody down to see, watch the sunset, in Brooklyn on the water at the East River. And we just wove it in small ways. And, we did a ceremony in the round. We did community vows, which is probably one of my favorite parts of the entire event. So we asked, we didn't have wedding parties. We didn't do that, but we asked everybody to, write a community vow about a value of ours. So like some of them were like humor, sustainability. And they're just like one line. And so at one point, like all John's high school buddies stood up and they were like, and we're all on the round. So like you're just surrounded and you're seeing people and everybody's participating versus us just standing up there the whole time and everyone's looking at us. We had lounge furniture and it was a cocktail style event. So like all this lounge furniture around us then broke out into all these like, you know, little vibey lounges, the party part. We'd made a menu based off like food that we love. We had mini egg sandwiches. We had a crepe station. It was fun. It was us. Right.
Yeah. That's great. I just feel like it's something that people don't really think a whole lot about, you know, like, and I think it's a really interesting way to approach a thing that like a lot of people hope happens at some point in their life. And we have so much just sort of narrative that is fed to us through media from the time we're born, through books, through TV shows, through movies, of just like, this is what you want to do. This is what, you know, and I do think it's just a good way to, because I think this is a good way to approach a lot of things in life, to just think about like, why do you think that you need a down on a knee proposal? Why do you think, you know, like, and just, and not necessarily that that's a bad thing, or not necessarily that's attached to anything that's like evil or some kind of societal bad, but like, why does it have to be done in that way? And would it potentially make more sense for you and your partner to do it in a different way? Or would it be more special for you and your partner to do it in a different way? Would it be more unique, you know, and like, and just giving yourself permission to ask questions like that, giving you and your partner having permission to say, we don't have to do this in any particular kind of way. And it's interesting, like the judgment that can come from society. I've known people who have done weddings and really, really, where they're just like, we went out like on a hike into the woods with a few friends and we brought a person who is an ordained minister and we just like did it up there. And people are like, oh, okay, whatever. And it's like, why not? That's theirs. It's for them.
A love party. And that was their love party.
It's for them. It's not yours. You don't have to approve of what their wedding is because it's not yours or their love party. You don't, it has nothing to do with you.
And like, isn't life more interesting when people bring their personalities into it? Like, I don't know. I felt like it was funny when I got into the wedding industry. I was like, oh, that's so-and-so's style. And that's so-and-so's style. Like this wedding designers and planners. And I was just like, I don't want to have a style. I want people to look at our work and be like, oh, that's so them. I know that couple, that's so them. And you can clearly see that like no two relationships are the same. And so it's kind of, it's like almost weirder to me that weddings do always look kind of similar.
Yeah.
Like that's almost more bizarre to me because none of the partnerships, couples that I know, like they're all so different.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, and oh God, I like, I really want to not be judging anyone who's had anybody in the listening audience who's had a traditional wedding or anything, but it's, I don't know, I feel like there's just people who like, they dress themselves in a really standard, it's just like, I just wear clothes that are that were on the mannequin at the store when I went in. They decorate their house out of a catalog. Like they show it and that's fine. And it's economical and maybe it's practical to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it's not, I don't think that it's for everyone to be like, everything I do has to be so unique or my personal
impression.
And I totally think that that makes sense. But I also think that like, just giving yourself permission to be like, you know, you can wear whatever kind of hat you want to wear. That's allowed. You can do that.
Right.
And people can have a problem with your hat, but like it's your hat, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, totally. And I think a lot of those people, I had one person hire me once that I went, why did they hire Modern Rebel? And I realized that this person in particular had a very, very conservative family. And we're also pretty out there politically, you know, on our social media, we call shit out, like we talk about it. Cause I think the, you know, it is political, the personal is political and it should be talked about. And, so anyway, I realized that this person hired me because I think there was a really intense amount of pressure to do everything in kind of a formulaic way, but there were sort of moments of how can we sort of break some mini rules and that I'll feel a little bit more seen. I'm not going to be able to break all of the rules in the way that some of my clients have that flexibility to break, because the money that I'm getting, there are strings. But if I can just break a few of these rules, I'm going to feel a little bit more seen and celebrated. So I have empathy for people that have to kind of follow that route, you know? And then yeah. I have like had couples that had a Catholic ceremony, but then like they were, then went through a massive rager afterwards.
Sure.
And they had like the head banging, the most head banging I've ever seen. It was awesome. Their friends did this band. It was so, it was like,
We're going to mass and then we're doing just a thrashing mosh pit afterward. All right.
Yeah. So. And I had another couple that had, have you ever heard of stumping? Do you know what that is? With the hammer?
Oh, where you flip the hammer upside down and then you try to hammer the nail in?
Yeah. I've had stumping at a love party. Oh, wow. I had a couple do, instead of a first dance, they did a first stage dive. We did that one time because I got married at a concert venue. That was fun.
And even just finding those simple things of just taking the things that everyone does and going like, would you like to do a first dance or would you like to do something else? Would you like to do a bouquet toss or would you like to do something else? Would you like to toss money? Would you like to do a cutting the cake and pushing cake into each other's faces or would you like to do something else? Like, would you like to make each other hot dogs and smear the hot mustard and ketchup on each other's face?
Oh, man. Give me ideas.
Just giving people permission to like, you also don't have to. Sometimes I'm at weddings and they're doing these things where they're like, all right, everybody gather around. We're going to push cake in each other's faces. And I'm like, and I'm like, you don't have to. You both look really nice. You don't have to do that if you don't want to.
You don't have to.
Yeah, but there's no pressure. We gotta. And then,
I think that's a level of, people have an idea of what a wedding is. And then there's the nostalgia factor for a lot of like older generations. And I don't think that it's wrong or even offensive to look at a tradition that probably in so many ways, if you really do the research on most major wedding traditions, it started in a very strange way. And you look it up and you'd be like, I don't connect with this at all. I'm not trying to ward off evil spirits so that my, you know, like literally that's what it is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, even like thinking about women as property, I mean,
100%.
I always feel like it's the greatest irony in the world that we sell women on this idea that being a bride is the pinnacle of existence when it started as, hey, we're selling her off to you, you know? And it's like, find the empowering moments, but instead, if you can look at it as something for your relationship versus an identity marker for yourself as a woman, I think that's probably what got me into this in terms of thinking about it that way, just my own experience. And then it's opened up the door to meet so many different people and their experiences with it to be like, oh yeah, the whole thing could be reimagined. Let's just flip it on its head.
Yeah, that's such a good point because there are just so many things about marriage and wedding parties and receptions in general that as far as tradition is concerned, that do, if you go back and look at the roots, it's like, well, all of this is steeped in like really old superstition that not really anyone has anymore. Like, I don't know anybody that still has this belief and nobody even knows that the reason why we do this thing is because of this old belief. But then there's just things that I see people go through the motions all the time of things that it's like, you don't even care about that. Like, I was just watching a show called Fleischman is in Trouble on Hulu, Jesse Eisenberg. And
I've seen the ad, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Claire, it's good. But there's this scene where he's like taking his 13-year-old daughter to practice for her bat mitzvah. And like, he's not a religious person and neither is his wife, but like, they just, they do this thing because they're Jewish and like that's what you do. His daughter's turning 13, and his daughter just like tells him while they're practicing, and afterward he's like, all right, you're gonna do great. He's like, I'm really excited for Saturday. And she just tells him, she's like, I don't really want to do it. And he's like, I know. He's like, you know, it's just something you do. And she goes, but why? She's like, we don't go to synagogue. We don't go to temple. Like, we're not religious. She's like, why do I have to do this? And he just goes, well, this is what you do. It's part of growing up. It's how you do it. And she's like, but why, Dad? I don't want to. I just, it's not me. And you see him like for the first time asking himself, like, why does my daughter have to have a bat mitzvah? She's not going to actually affect her life. And I don't really believe that there's like some kind of deal she's making with God here or something, that now you're a woman. It's just like the way that I did it and the way that my parents and their parents and their parents did it. But there's really no actual good reason why she has to do it if she doesn't want to. Right. And it's just a thing that he kind of unconsciously was like, she will, and my son will. They just will do that. And it's like, but you don't, you know, yeah. And a lot of it is, if you actually are willing to just allow yourself to ask the question of, but why does that?
That's exactly how I felt about like getting proposed to. For me, I felt like this was a huge decision to make as a couple. And I saw so many of my friends feeling like as women, they didn't have any agency in when that was going to happen. And again, like this may feel totally right for somebody else, but that thing of being like, it could happen at any moment and I have no idea when, and then everybody's going to be looking at pictures of me or someone's going to jump out of a bush. And I just felt like, let's just go to the Grand Canyon and have a private moment. And that's what felt really good to me.
That aspect, actually, you're putting your finger on something that I have not been able to articulate, but the idea of proposing has always made me incredibly anxious because of exactly that thing of just like, I don't feel comfortable springing something that big on. And obviously, I think most of my friends who are married and have been married will say that before the proposal took place, they obviously hopefully had a conversation with their partner where they were like, would you like to get married? Would you, you know, yes. Okay. And then it's like, cool. Now that that's known, let me begin planning this secret thing that I'm going to do. But it's also like, I feel like there's so much pageantry and artifice in it so much of the time, because it's like, there's no way you went and picked out that ring without consulting her first.
Oh, and that was another thing. Like, I'm going to pick out my own ring.
There's no way on God's green earth I am going to pick a ring for a woman like without consenting or consulting her, and there's no way I'm going to ask her to marry me without having that conversation with her beforehand. And if we're already doing all of that together, the idea of like then making it some surprise to me just seems so silly and forced, where I'm like, hey, let's go for our anniversary up to like the Redwoods, like where we had our first kiss or something, you know? And then we go up there and I'm like, surprise, it's the proposal we've been talking about for the last 2 years. Like, what, right. You know, I'm just like, hey, what are we doing here?
For some people, it feels great and they love it. And they love that element of surprise. For a lot of people, they just do it because it's the way you're supposed to do it. And I've heard so many stories from people that are like, we were in a massive fight, but he had to pop the question. And it's like, cause that's what he was going to do it. You know, it's we had to be here at this time and blah, blah.
That's why it stresses me out, is even if I've already had that conversation with my partner, even if we've already picked out a ring together and I've already bought it, if I'm doing this huge thing, that's because I like surprises and I think everyone likes a good surprise, but there are certain but there are certain surprises where it's just like, there's too many things that could get, there's logistics. I think that like showing up somewhere where a person's like, like if you're dating long distance and like showing up where your partner lives as a surprise, I'm like, man, you better be sure that that's a good week for you to show up. You better be that like the day that you're showing up, they're not like in the middle of a really, really busy work moment, you know? Right. Like that's a big risk that you're taking with that surprise. And even if I've had this whole conversation, if I'm hauling my partner out to this place where it's a special place, and she for whatever reason is mad at me that day, and now I'm like, oh shit, and she doesn't even know that this thing's happening. Whereas if we just had the conversation where it's like, hey, tomorrow we're going to do a thing that will signify us being engaged. And that is the plan. And we're going together. And I just think that the idea that like, it's the man's responsibility to surprise the woman with this thing. And she deserves to be, have this moment of being surprised and filmed by someone and to have pictures that she can post online of how surprised she was. And that he has to ask her the question, will you please do, you know? And I'm like, I just feel like and again, I don't want to yuck anyone else's yum. And if people have very magical moments in their lives where they're like, that's what happened and it was beautiful, fantastic. But I just think that there's a lot of like just the expectation of having to do it a certain way, I think has always been very stressful for me. The expectation of like, if I don't do it the right way for the rest of her life, she's going to be like, he didn't really ask the right way. He was kind of, you know, and I'm like, I wish I could have just asked you, how would you like to be asked? Yeah. How would you like this to go down? You know?
And John and I had that conversation, and if that feels better for people, I highly recommend doing it. I mean, we rented a convertible, which we never splurge on ever. And I did have this feeling, we were driving the Grand Canyon, and I did have this feeling, I'm like, I'm kind of driving to like this like big shift and change in my life. And it was actually really cool. I had like this hour drive to be like, okay, like this is happening. And it was kind of beautiful in that way. I got to process it versus like, for me, like I need to process, like just happening like that wouldn't have felt great. It would have felt a little stressful.
Yeah. I think it, and again, I think I got to be careful with how I dance around this a little bit, because I don't want to take away from anyone's lovely experience. But again, talking about like the things about marriage too that sort of irk me, just with misogyny and patriarchy and stuff like this, I feel like there's an element of like taking the control out of the woman's hands and like being like, you don't even really get to say when this happens. Like it's going to be sprung on you. And then you're, and that's part of the experience, is just having it be like, surprise, engagement. And then you're like, sort of reeling, and like your family pops out from behind a bush and they're like taking photos of you, and you're like, oh my God, my mom and dad are here. And like, I didn't think they were, you know, and oh, my best friend from high school was behind that tree. And oh my God, you know, like, and you sort of are forced into this situation of like, yeah, okay, I'm really excited. And for a lot of people that is really exciting and it's emotional and overwhelming, but also there's this other element to it where it's like, you didn't even get to be like consulted on how that moment went down. And hopefully he knocks it out of the park. Hopefully it's like really good, and it's not like, oh, that was kind of upsetting. Like that's not actually, I didn't want that person to be here, or that's not how I imagined it in my head. And it's like, I would just so much rather be like, if we're going to do this, I don't want to do any part of it without consulting you and without like making sure that we're both in agreement that this is how we would like to do it. That for me just feels like it sits more comfortably in my soul. And again, I don't want to take away from anyone who might love a good.
Well, I think it's not about saying like, this is bad and this is good, right?
Right,
I think
we've
just seen the same over and over and over and over again. So if you've seen the same over and over and over again, it's okay to say, hey, what about this over here? Or what about this over here? What about this over here? It's not saying that's bad.
Right, right.
It's like, there's just a lot of other options, and that may feel equally good, if not better. That's how I think about it. And of course, like, I think there's a level of controversy whenever people feel like, you know, their decisions are under attack. And it's like, we're not attacking. There's no attacking decisions. And I have a lot of clients that make a lot of traditional choices. And the thing is that they thought about them, and they're like, okay, I'm doing that. That's all I ask. I'm like, just think about it. And I've been in those moments, and I celebrate them, and I don't claim to know what's the best decision for them. Like, that's their decision. But I also, I think that there's just a lot of like examining that needs to happen in the process, even in relationships. I had multiple partners break up, and I always think like, good for you guys. In a culture that rewards you for getting to the finish line, like in a culture that rewards partnership above all else.
Yeah.
My God, you're getting married. To say, hey, this isn't right, after you've already told the world we're doing this, is brave, is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, good.
I agree. Good. You didn't just like muscle it out and push through because you were too worried about disappointing someone other than the two of you, you know? which is who this is about. I think that there's just so much that I take from this conversation that I think bleeds into so many other aspects of life where I think that, yeah, you're right, that it's not about saying this is good or this is bad. It's just about being willing to say, why do I do that? Or why do I think it should be done that way? Or why do I feel pressure to live in that way? Why do I think that the mark of a successful life or a successful relationship or whatever is that? And am I capable of being satisfied with my life or my relationship or whatever, my love party, if I do it in a different way? And will it be okay? And it's like, usually the answer is like, yeah, it's fine. You can break most rules.
And like the coolest thing, I'll say, to go back to the marriage mantra piece to the puzzle, like when couples come up with this marriage mantra, and I can give you some examples of like what people do, but like they'll see it play out in their event in these like almost like Easter egg moments. Like none of their, I mean, usually their guests aren't like, well, that's their marriage mantra. Like they don't have that kind of lingo. They're not like also working with us. They're just showing up to a party. But a couple walks in and they're like, oh my God, like it's connected, and they're connecting it back to their relationship. Like to me, that's more meaningful than just being like, I had this, these are my wedding colors, and I picked out this plate because of this. It's like, oh, like there's an attachment to who we are in this. I've had couples, I'll give you like two examples. One was, they felt like they'd known each other forever. Like when they met, it was like, I've known you for like 1,000 years. So their marriage mantra was 1,000 years. And what we did is we played with time. I used like time travel. Like I just had like retro stuff. I had vintage stuff. I had like, they walked in, they'd eloped during the pandemic, just them. So like these giant TVs set up that were like all different time periods. It's like playing their elopement video on. People walk in, and wow, we got like this violin set at the beginning, and then we had like a brass band. It was like so fun, and they're just playing with time. None of their guests knew that 1,000 years was their marriage mantra. But it's like, oh, like I'm seeing how I'm kind of being time traveling a little bit in this event.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's so cool. Amy, thank you so much for spending an hour of your time today.
Thank you.
Me a little bit about what you do. And honestly, like talking to you, I'm like, oh, you know what? With the right person, having a love party planned by Modern Rebel actually sounds like it could be a really fun thing. I think I've just, the idea of a traditional one has always sort of just stressed me out. It's always made me feel like I would be too stressed about making sure that we're getting every little detail right and that like it feels good for other people and that everyone's happy. But if I'm doing it my style with this other person, maybe it's a little bit more approachable. How do people get a hold of you if they want to hire you to plan their love party?
Yeah. So they can go to modernrebelandco.com. And our Instagram is modernrebelandco, and on TikTok we're modernrebelco. So a little bit confusing, but hopefully you've got some notes section. We can link everything. And they can also find me directly. I talk a lot about love parties and relationships at Amy Shack Egan on Instagram. Just reach out. We're really down to earth team. We love talking to couples.
Amazing.
What we do all day.
Fantastic. Hey, if you're watching this on YouTube right now, you can get the full version of this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to podcasts, with the intro segment and the outro segment and the theme music and all that stuff. Or you can just keep watching it like this without the intro and outro. That's fine too. You can support this show at patreon.com/AustinArcher if you have the means to do that. Thank you so much for being here. Amy, thank you so much,
Austin,
for being
thank you.
Here
appreciate
today.
Appreciate you. Cool. Thanks.
Really appreciate you. All right. We'll chat later.
Bye-bye. I'm telling you the sun is arriving
and you'll be here when it sets. Okay. All right. How about that? Now you want to get married and you want Modern Rebel to plan your love party, don't you? And if you're already married, you're thinking we should renew our vows and have Modern Rebel plan our love party for our vow renewal. That's what you're thinking right now, right? I'm thinking that. I don't even have any like prospects of getting married anytime soon. And I'm already like, shit, it honestly eased that conversation with Amy. I'm not even lying when I say this. I'm not even joking. It honestly eased some of the anxiety that I have about things like weddings and getting married. I was like, if I could get married like that and find a person who would be cool with getting married like that, and going about the process of planning a wedding like that, that would make me feel better. And again, this is not to say that if you had a traditional wedding or a traditional marriage, that there's anything wrong with that. Especially if you were like, I really liked it. That's all I wanted it to be. And that it was perfect. I'm not yucking your yum. I'm just saying for me, this was beneficial. It helped me, I think, understand and process some of my anxiety around that. So it was a good conversation. And I hope you enjoyed it too. Hope you got something out of it. Hope it was fun, if nothing else. That's all. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com. That's the official website of all things Austin Archer. You can look up Austin Archer on Spotify or Apple Music. You can go to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com and get all of my albums, including the 4 albums. Now that's what I call a bunch of Austin Archer's TikTok songs compiled into an album, volumes 1 through 4, that are only available on Bandcamp. If you want those, patreon.com/austinarcher if you want to support this show. Again, that's all the stuff. Everybody, thank you for being here. We'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Okay. Love you so much. Bye-bye.